This is CFF All Access, the college fantasy football cast, football podcast at Fantasy Points.
Hello, I'm Eric Froton. This is the CFF All Access Fantasy Podcast. Along with me, my co-host, Josh Chevalier of Fantasy Points, and Zach Hall, the statistician, the czar of the spreadsheet. And we're going to kick right into it because we've got a big show. We've got 10 QBs to talk about. And if you know anything about this show, you know that I like to be verbose, as they like to say. So the top 10 in this particular order. Number 10, Avery Johnson, Kansas State, will be given by Josh. Shedeur Sanders is number 9. Haynes King, Georgia Tech, is number 8. Garrett Green, West Virginia, 7. Number 6, favorite of all college fan football aficionados, Nico Iamaleava. Nico Iamaleava, Tennessee. Jackson Dart, number 5. Jordan McLeod, number 4. Dylan Gabriel, number 3. Byron Brown, number 2. And Caden Salter, number 1. Josh, if you could for us, who were some of the toughest omissions from this top 10 list based on what we've seen out there by ADP?
Well, I mean, I think we just got to get with it right away and say this is a 6-point passing touchdown list.
You're right. How could I forget?
So that may change the game a little bit on who got omitted here. But, you know, there's a few guys, right? Like Seth Hennigan, right? In a 6-point passing touchdown league format. Like, that's a guy that was really close, I think, for all of us, right? We have Jackson Arnold. You know, some homerism here might have had Cam Ward making it very close to getting on this list, but couldn't quite push through. But those are a few of the guys, right, that I think all of us had at least sniffing the top 10. Chandler Morris is another one that all of us were, you know, decently high on. But they all missed.
Especially Andrew Katz, shout out to the BTR podcast, talking about Chandler Morris. I swear to God, he has been the Chandler Morris stan of stans for the past 3 years. Like, I swear, his family didn't believe in him, and Katz did. a couple of interesting omissions here, at least going by, as we always reference, the CFF Champions League. Jalen Milroe was taken in the second one of our leagues. We just did the third, but I got the second board up right now. He was taken at the sixth pick in the fifth round, the 5-6. And I want to say he was like QB5 there. Heath took him, I believe, QB4, right before Haynes King. So him being off, I think it is a, you know, speaks to the 6-point passing touchdown constraints. No, it shouldn't be constraints. It should just be universal here. But when in that particular league, somehow we let Greg keep doing the 4-point passing touchdowns, and you see it, Kyren Drones as well. I want to say he was the QB8 here, which, you know, it was taken by Greg, Debbie Warehouse, but that's been a big Chris K. I know that he's been, in fact, outspoken on Twitter. He had mentioned Kyren Drones and called me out about it. I will call out Mrs. K, who is actually going to be listening to this on the 10-hour drive they have tomorrow. Hi, Mrs. K. Thank you for humbling us on the drive. And, you know, in terms of Drones, I think he's possibly the best example, him and Milroe, but he takes a real hit in the 6-point passing touchdown type formats because, let's face it, this is a defensive coach, pretty conservative in terms of their play calling. Is there anybody else that you think was kind of close? Hennigan definitely had a case.
Yeah. What do you got, Zach Hall? You got anybody, Zach?
Hennigan was one for me for sure. Jackson Arnold was close up there.
Jackson Arnold didn't make it? Where did you guys have him ranked? Where'd you have him, Josh?
Really know things smiling. Like that.
Where'd you have him, Josh?
Josh had him. I think it was all Josh again.
Yeah, where?
14. Where, look, man, 14. Somebody's got to bring a sense of rationality to this podcast. Yep. No, you guys keep Jackson trying to put guys in these lists that don't deserve it. Like Ishmael Mani.
Ridiculous. Zach, where did you have Jackson on?
I think I had him right around 14 as well.
Yeah, around 14. Oh, so you're blaming on Josh. So it's both of you.
He had him at 11. He had this him at 11. He was better than me.
You're 11. I knew I could trust you at least a little bit, Zach. Who did you have? Give me your 8, 9, 10 now, Josh. Give me your 8, 9, 10. Cool. They're better than Jackson Arnold.
It's really his 10. 9, it's 10. His 10.
Oh, great. Give it to me. Yeah, let's hear it. No, no, you wanted this. You getting it.
My 10 is Chandler Morris.
Your 10 is Chandler Morris. Oh, I thought it was you and Katz.
I thought you had Cam Ward in the top 10.
Yes. Oh, did you have Cam Ward over Jackson Arnold, dude?
Hey, look. I don't think I'm looking all that bad right now after you went 19 for 24 for 325 yards and 3 touchdowns in the spring game.
You're going to spring game me. This is Jackson Arnold. Bro, okay. All right, whatever you want. Do you want to go to the bowl game?
He looked good for a half of a bowl game, bro. He looked terrible in that first half.
Okay?
He was terrible in the first half.
When can we say Chandler Morris has been magical? Has Cam Ward been magical?
Look,
give me even a lighter adjective.
Look, Jackson Arnold looked magical for about half of a game last year. The other games he played, he did not look so good. He looked like a true freshman. So I'm just saying. There we go. I just think Cam Ward is going to have a better year. We'll see. Look, we have receipts right now.
I'm disappointed. I'm going to have to put this out there to the masses for a vote, be it on Twitter, be it on this particular platform, however it is. Shane will not be allowed to vote. Klubnik, come on, Shane. I know you watched the Clemson spring game. I watched it. Anybody who was subjected to that eye torture, which was basically the offense was between him and Vizina. I would go with Clockwork Orange when Malcolm McDowell's character goes back in the pouring rain to the one that he created the ultra violence on, and they tape him and they make his eyes stay open and he has to watch all the ultra violence. That's to Beethoven. That's what I feel like that Clemson spring game. So he will never be anywhere near a top 10. That being said, Jackson Arnold should have, and I'm frankly disappointed in both of you.
Well, we'll try to make you more proud next time.
How about that? Well, then leave Cam Ward out, top 10. Top 10. I mean, I know there's a lot of projection involved here with the North Texas offense here with Chandler Morris, but come on, man. Really? All right. Hey, maybe the listeners feel. Maybe, but that's how it is. That is for better or worse. That is our top 10. And I believe we'll have a break coming very shortly, won't we?
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
All right, we are going to get in here now to our actual top 10 CFF quarterbacks for the 2024 season. So Eric did a great job of going down the list. He even got Nico Iamaleva's name right. Let's try to say that.
Barely. Sometimes I don't know, man. It took me 7 tries.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay. You got it right at least once. So, and here we are. We're going to start. So this whole time we've been going through our running backs, our wide receivers, and we're now at QBs. And we've been doing 3 things: looking at their player profile, looking at the historical play caller data, and then looking at the team situation, and then coming in with a discussion question as well. So we are going to get into it right away. We got Caden Salter, number 1. And Caden Salter is a QB that is 6 foot, 200 pounds. And he was unbelievable last year, right? He scored 31 fantasy points per game. He had 2,800 yards passing, 32 touchdowns, which is absolutely insane. We'll get into that later. And he had 1,100 yards rushing. So he's Konami Code quarterback, dual threat. He had 12 TDs there. And he played in the Conference USA, which means that schedule was soft as butter. So it was he had a crazy season. It was great. His play caller is Jamie Chadwell. You guys probably know Jamie Chadwell from his time at Coastal Carolina, where he ran a mixture of the triple option and the spread RPO. His QB1 over the last 4 years, which was Caden Salter last year, and he had Grayson McCall before that, averaged 28.7 fantasy points per game. So Jamie Chadwell's produced amazing QBs over his time in the FBS. Team situation, they're pretty much bringing everybody back except CJ Daniels, which is a big loss, right? You can't understate that. But we think that Caden Salter's probably good enough to overcome that. We have him projected at 2,500 yards passing, 27 TDs, and then 900 yards rushing, and then 10 TDs there for 35.8 fantasy points per game and 6-point passing touchdown leagues. So since we're talking 6-point passing touchdown leagues, again, Caden Salter last year threw 32 TDs on 2,800 yards passing, which doesn't sound crazy, but I want to throw out a stat to you guys. Over the last 10 years, Jamie Chadwell has not had a QB throw for over 27 touchdowns other than Salter. So he's 5 touchdowns more than any other QB. So my question for you guys, are you guys worried at all about TD regression passing for Salter in 2024?
Not particularly, given the difference in competition. I mean, at least when we're talking with Chadwell at Coastal Carolina, he was taking over for Joe Moglia. Everything was kind of in place, you know, with that system. He took it over and just, you know, kept it sort of running. They were in the Sun Belt, though, which they were on par talent wise with, you know, sometimes a little better, sometimes, you know, a little down, but they're always, it's a much more competitive conference than the MAC is now. It used to be kind of on par, and that is certainly not the case anymore. But with Liberty, I'm not particularly worried about them, given them being much better than every other team around them. They're just blowing the doors off a team. So if that's the case, then I don't see any reason why, you know, that gravy train would stop rolling, given the talent differential and the fact they're going to put up another, you know, high 30s, 40 points a game.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the one that I would maybe be a little more concerned about is, are they going to run him nearly as much? Is he going to have the 12 rushing touchdowns? I don't think that's, you know, I think he can definitely do that again. I that would just be the one where maybe there's a little bit regression this year. But looking at, I think you touched on it perfectly, the schedule. I mean, it's that he's going to do whatever he wants against that schedule. And I think even looking at SP Plus, it's a little bit easier this year than it was last year. So I just feel like he's just going to have some big games and feel pretty confident about him getting close to those numbers again.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with y'all. It's fun to have some, you know, try to create some kind of controversy around Caden Salter. But while he's playing the Conference USA and not transferring out to Auburn in the SEC like he flirted with in the offseason, you know, I think he's pretty safe to be the top QB, right? So while I try to create some kind of good conversation, looks like there's no chance of that. So, Eric Froton, why don't you take us to our second QB?
Sure, and I will give a shout-out to our boy Quentin Fenske in the comments. It's almost the best time of year, CFF draft season. Bless your heart. You are correct. It's that time of year. That being said, it's Byron Brown time, 6'3", 209. Major transfer portal rumors going on about Byron Brown floating right now. First off, we have to get it out of there. So the fact that he's the number two QB here, I don't have any shares of him in my best balls. I'm probably not going to, especially in a day. We're going to know if everybody's hitting the transfer portal. If he does, I mean, goodbye value, because this is the Alex Golish offense, former offensive coordinator for Josh Heupel at Tennessee. Just brought that right over and turned around a fairly moribund USF franchise that was left in the doldrums by Jeff Scott, former Clemson offensive coordinator. Much like everything that's happened at Clemson over the past couple of years, USF fell apart. In comes Golish and just turns it right around. 34.5 points per game. Not bad. I mean, I don't know what more we want from a team perspective there. 269 passing yards per game. Not bad. You know, you're at that 270 mark, 27 passing touchdowns, and 3,494 yards. I like it. You know, in terms of that, that's what we want to see in terms of the, passing volume. Third in pace of play as well for USF. So they have that same sort of chuck and duck mentality where they like to stretch the field vertically. 44% of the targets went to the outside receiver. That is 22nd in the country last year. So that's why we're seeing guys like, well, Sean Atkins is a slot. So that gives me a little bit of pause. We did go over Sean Atkins in our wide receiver, you know, situation. He's a slot receiver, you know, and when I went and did my Byron Brown brush up here and sort of did some film analysis, gosh, I mean, Atkins is dependable, but looking at inside the numbers, I'm a little inclined to be taking some flyers on their outside receivers now, because that's where the targets go. Anyways, on the team level, passing explosiveness, 30th. In the country, they are taking big shots downfield, but efficiency-wise, only 46% of USF's passes went for first downs. It's 119th in the country, and kind of speaks to the boom or bust nature of this offense, which, you know, luckily playing the AAC, there's a lot of booming. As far as Byron Brown goes, completed 276 of 427 passes for 3,292 yards, only 7.7 yards per attempt, middling. You'd like to see that over 8, obviously, you know, as close to 9 as you can get. 26-11 touchdown interception ratio. There were miscues. He's not a gifted, polished passer. I mean, you want him for his legs, you know, 203 rushes for 809 yards, 63 rushing yards per game. 11 touchdowns. We'll note he had 5 fumbles that he lost. It's on the high end of QBs. If you play in leagues that have 3, usually you get a -2 for turnovers. Some leagues have -3. I kind of like that. It should sting a little bit. If you're in one of those leagues, that's a -33 with those 11. And then you throw on the 5 fumbles. That's 16 turnovers. Not something to be just sort of hand waved, you know. That being said, the 11 touchdowns and the 800 yards, that's what we're here for. From a fantasy perspective, points, 3 games of 100-plus rushing yards. He had rushing TDs in 8 of 14 games. In 3 of them, he had 2-plus. He had 4 300-yard passing games. He had 6 of 14 games for 250-plus passing yards. 7 games with 2-plus passing, 7 games with 35-plus points out of 14. That's half. Pretty good from 35. I mean, 35 is a big number. 11 games with 20 plus points. So there's a really high floor for Brown all season with the potential and, you know, a likelihood of putting up 7 games with 35 points. So that's half the time you're getting an explosive game. As far as his passing acumen, deep passing, 10th of 52 qualified passers with a 20% ball ratio. Pretty good. Again, this is Alex Golish. He wants to stretch the field on vertically on the outside. 20%, one out of every 5 passes is going deep. 37% of his throws went for 10-plus yards. Okay, so that's a pretty light intermediate volume. It's basically he's throwing those short manufactured sort of touches or quick hitches, or it's going deep. There's not a lot of reading the particular defense and hitting those, you know, hole shots. In terms of his deep grades, 63% deep grade, okay? That's the second worst in the FBS among qualifying quarterbacks with 50-plus attempts that are deep or more. I don't need to tell you how bad that is. We're not talking about a skilled passer with Byron Brown, okay? That clearly illustrates it. The second worst in the FBS. You know who the worst – guys, do you know who the worst downfield passer by passing grade was? In the FBS?
I'm going to leave this this one up to Zach. I have no idea.
And it's by a significant mark. No clue. Okay, so like I said, second is Byron Brown, 63rd percentile. Worst, EJ Warner, 52nd percentile, 11% worse.
Wow.
Than Byron Brown. That's pretty good. So anyways, of those, even though we went deep 20% of the time, he only completed 32% of those deep passes. Which is how you get to the second worst deep grade, you know. That being said, all other 3 levels, not particularly inspiring, not bad. You had between a 72 or a 79 PFF passing grade to all those levels. Handling pressure, no pressure, 81 percentile offensive grade, 69% completion rate. Okay. 2,500 yards, 21-6 ratio. All this is fine. 16-9 big time throw to turnover worthy play rate. You don't like to see that with no pressure. And that's kind of a harbinger of things to come, because when he was pressured, 40th percentile offensive grade, you know, overall, terrible, terrible. 51% completion rate, not bad. I mean, that's kind of what you expect. You'd like to see it more, obviously. 768 yards, but a 5-5 ratio, not good. But then you get to the big time throw rate, only 4 big time throws to 14 turnover worthy plays when pressured. He is pretty much reliant on the system and the scheme. If he transfers somewhere else, I want no part of him. I mean, no part of him. He is Alex Golish's quarterback. Getting that, so we'll tie it up on the pressure front. 23% pressure to sack rate last year. 45 sacks taken. That's the third most in the country. 25% career pressure to sack rate. That's bad, obviously. 2.94 time to throw, 2.94 seconds. That's the 19th longest out of 95 QBs. He takes long to process. Play action, pretty good, 64% completion rate, 9 yards per attempt, 16-2 ratio, fine. No play action, 66%, not bad. Again, 10-9 touchdown interception rate, 7-17 big-time throw to turnover-worthy play rate. He needs the crutches. He needs Golish's schemes, he needs play action, and he needs his legs. So overall, you know, this is what we're dealing with here with Byron Brown. He's a scheme quarterback that if he hints at the portal, all of those shares are immediately going to crater that you took the best balls. Draft with caution, especially in these next few days. I want to wait at least a week before I'm investing anything within a first 3-round pick on him. He's been going in the first round pretty much everywhere. Portal news is death of Byron Brown.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think definitely should not hit the portal. I mean, this is the year, right? They're returning, what, like 18 to 20 starters on that team. I mean, they got a real shot to win the AAC this year. And so he really needs to stay another year. I think he should hit the portal in, you know, 2025 and make some money. Because look, I mean, part of, like, you're talking about targeting outside wide receivers, they didn't have any good outside wide receivers last year. That's part of the problem. I mean, his outside wide receivers were comparable to Clemson's outside wide receivers the last couple of years. I think that explains some of, you know, his troubles throwing the ball. I mean, not everything, but yeah, just watching those games, watching them against UTSA. I mean, Sean Atkins is the only guy getting open, which is why he started to rely on him like a ton, because he's the only guy that he can rely on to get open. So hopefully they can dip in the portal and get him some good help on the outside. They got a, I think, Purdue transfer in that could be decent, but they haven't hit very well on their transfer additions the last couple of years. So, but hopefully somebody can be attracted in that system, because it'd be great to see Byron Brown with some help on the outside. It would hurt Sean Atkins for sure, but
Simmons, he had some drops, I believe.
And he had like that one game, right?
He's fast, well, yeah, man. You know, I mean, he's dynamic, and if he's the one who's going to take over, it's a position that has to be respected, that lead outside threat.
Yeah, and yeah, at the end of the 2022 season, like, I think the kid, Byron Brown, threw for like 750 yards between the UCF game and the Tulane game. Now, Tulane's an awful defense, but he's better than the stats suggest, just because, again, they had very little help. But
that's fair. We shall
see. Please stay there. Let's not, like you said, he's done if he gets cooked.
Yeah, but I need him to stay, because I have drafted him a lot this year so far. So if he moves on, I could be in some trouble in some of these best balls.
But yeah. I mean, you know, in 4-point passing touchdown leagues, he has the extra value too. So keep that in mind in those horrible.
There you
that
go.
Being said, I took long enough on him. I said next.
Hey, it's all good. Hey, well, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take a quick break, but you guys stay with us, because you're not gonna want to miss the rest of our top 10 QBs. All right, we're coming back, and Zach Hall is up with Dylan Gabriel at number 3.
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel. So transfer into Oregon this past year. Last year at Oklahoma, he threw for over 3,600 yards, 30 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, also ran for 373 yards and 12 touchdowns. Really good season from him last year. This is another guy that transferred a couple times, right? We saw him at UCF as well, where he put up some similar numbers. Two seasons there, he threw for over 3,500 yards, hit 29 touchdowns and 32 touchdowns his first two seasons there. Best rushing production came last year at Oklahoma, but we have seen that from him the last few years, which really leads into Will Stein, the play caller at Oregon, where we don't have a ton. We talked a little bit about him last week. We don't have a ton of history on him, but we have seen what he did last year at Oregon with Bo Nix, right, where Bo Nix was averaging 33 points a game. Ran the ball, had 234 rushing yards, six touchdowns there. And then Frank Harris in 2022, we saw how he used him as well, which both of those guys, top five QBs when they, by the end of the season. So really valuable spot that we get with Will Stein at the quarterback position. The quarterbacks are getting over 40 touchdowns a season with him, rushing and passing combined. So that's huge. When you're looking at this, there's not many play callers that are going to give you that. And you're just going to, they average 472 pass attempts a season as well. So they're going to throw the ball. They're going to use him in the run game. Dylan Gabriel really fits, I think, what they want to do, what he wants to do. Last year, Gabriel was one of the more consistent high end QBs. Well, he finished five times in the top 10 week. And he only fell outside. I think he was a couple weeks in there where he was outside of like the top 40, but for the most part, he lived within that top 40. So every week he was pretty consistent with at least putting points up, averaged 30 points a game. He had eight games with at least three touchdowns, passing, rushing combined, which fits with what Will Stein wants to do, right? His quarterback's going to score the ball. So Gabriel really, really fits that. He's got weapons around him. We spent some time last week on Evan Stewart, Tez Johnson. So he has those receivers. They have Jordan James at running back, three O-line starters coming back. That offense is just going to move. We know that they have weapons. The only concern I think that I have with this offense as a whole, moving to the Big Ten and seeing some better defenses, and I think that could down just a little bit. I think a bit of regression on the touchdowns as a whole from this team. I think that the scoring could go down just a little bit, not necessarily every game, but just over the season. I think we'll see that regress just a little bit as well, which could hurt the value. But he's just a guy that he's been so consistent. He's put up points everywhere he's been. We've seen him transfer and still really be valuable in that next spot. So he's a guy, I think we all had him at number three. We have him projected to do 3,300 yards over 12 games, 30 touchdowns, seven rushing touchdowns. So he's actually missing that 40 touchdown season that we usually see with Will Stein. But a big piece of that, again, is going to come from just the schedule and it being a little bit tougher there. He's a guy that he's kind of started to drop, it seems like, a little bit in drafts. He was going first round, and then you kind of see him go end of the first, start of the second. And I think last Champions, I got him in the third, which kind of fell to me. I was pretty happy about that. I know you guys don't necessarily love to draft the QBs early, but getting Gabriel in the third round I thought was great value. But starting to see McLeod jump up above him, it seems like, in some of these drafts. So it'd be interesting to see kind of how this goes over the next few months with where he starts to really end up in these drafts. But right now he's kind of that end of first round, start of the second round, or kind of dropping, I guess, out as far as the last draft. I mean, for you guys, he's super consistent. The scary part for me, again, it's going into the Big Ten, but we're seeing McLeod come up, right? Anybody else you think you might put over him as we get closer to the season, or you feel pretty good with him kind of in that third spot? Because it really felt like those first few drafts, it was tier one was Salter, Brown, and then Gabriel kind of right there on the end. Feels like it's kind of getting a little more gray area in there. Is that the case for you guys at all, or are you still pretty solid with him at that top tier with those other two?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I'm solid with them up there with those other two. I think Dylan Gabriel with Will Stein is a great match. I mean, we talked about Evan Stewart and Tez Johnson. He's one of the rare guys, right? That's two wide receivers being drafted in the first 2 to 3 rounds in the top 10 for our consensus. So I don't see the Big Ten as a bad thing at all. I mean, they were blowing teams out so bad last year that they weren't even playing in the third. Froton, you may know this, but it seemed like they were almost never playing in the fourth quarter. And in some games, they weren't even getting in to the third quarter. So the Big Ten, I mean, their schedule is not that daunting, to be honest, in my opinion, in the Big Ten this year. But even against the tough teams, that just means you're going to get them for a full game versus a half of a game. And I think that can only mean good things for a Will Stein offense led by Dylan Gabriel.
Green light for the first half of the entire schedule. First 6 weeks, there's no team you would even consider sitting Dylan Gabriel for. Gets in a Big Ten play. All right, Ohio State goes to Autzen. Fair. You know, that's a different level of talent. But usually you want your big-time guys playing those big-time games. So, I mean, you'd have to see how it's going. But if it's a pair of undefeateds, which it could very well be, how do you sit them there, you know? You're going to sit Dylan Gabriel in that game? You want your best players when the chips are down. Then they got Purdue, Illinois, a retooling Michigan team with two returning starters, you know, Maryland, Wisconsin, Washington. I'm not too intimidated here by that schedule, you know? So I'm feeling pretty good about Gabriel there. I feel all right with him.
Yeah, I really like that too. Yep. But let's talk about the guy that was controversial and was that got picked over Dylan Gabriel in this last draft, and Jordan McLeod. He is our number four QB on this list. And Jordan McLeod was actually, he transferred into Texas State, right? He was at my alma mater, James Madison University, JMU. He's 6 foot, 200. He averaged 29.8 fantasy points per game last year, had 3,600 yards passing and 35 touchdowns. And then he ran for almost 300 yards and 8 touchdowns. Now, he did this all in his 6th season of college football. So if you're good with math, unlike me, then this is his 7th year of college ball. But he has gotten an upgrade in offensive coordinators, even though we think very highly of the JMU guys. He's now with G.J. Kenny. G.J. Kenny, in his 2 years as a head coach slash play caller, really where he can call his system, he's been unbelievable at the FCS level and incarnate word. He had Lindsey Scott. I'm going to list off Lindsey Scott's stats to you guys from 2022.
Let's go.
My man had 4,700 yards passing and 60 touchdowns. And then he ran for an additional 700 yards and 11 touchdowns. He averaged 43.1 fantasy points per game, which is just crazy. And then G.J. Kenny took T.J. Finley last year, who has been awful for his career. And then he put up 3,400 yards passing and had 24 touchdowns. And then he had an additional five touchdowns rushing. So G.J. Kenny's a genius, future P5 head coach. Jordan McLeod's an upgrade in this offense, right? And he gets pretty much his main weapons back in the receiving game. He's also got Mahdi back in the backfield and then adds in that backfield as well. You know, we have McLeod, we have him projected at 3,200 yards passing, 26 touchdowns, and then we have him at 255 yards rushing and then 6 touchdowns there for 30.9 fantasy points per game and 6-point passing leagues. And so my question for you guys, do you guys think that Jordan McLeod, does he hit this over under 3,400 yards this year? So does he get above what T.J. Finley did last year? Or does he go below it in 2024? What do y'all think?
Well, he's my kind of guy where I like QBs who can run. Don't get me wrong. There's an element of running to their game, but that there's a huge volume of passing to fall back on if he takes a couple of sacks and it you know, or a particular team has a spy on him and he just isn't able to run. He actually, in this system, is racking up 300-yard games. So, you know, he didn't do anything, remember, the first three games of the season. And then in the bowl game, which we don't care about, they played Air Force, which, I mean, that's playing way up for Texas State, playing Air Force's defense here. And, you know, everybody plays for Air Force in their bowl game because none of them are going to the NFL. So, like, that's a tough assignment. You can almost throw that out. Otherwise, you look at that stretch run he had 9 consecutive games of 20 plus points with some bombs in. I mean, I feel like he's a pretty safe investment.
Yeah, I really like McLeod. He's a guy that his projection is probably going to change. I know the news kind of came out right when we were finishing those up, and it was pretty quick. So probably take another run and look at where that's landed. I would say right now it's probably low, just with where we have him. I definitely see him really thriving in that offense. I'm excited about that move. A lot of these guys, these group of five guys, when they want to transfer, you're really worried about where they're going to land. And this was one that got me pretty excited. And immediately he's one of the only guys I think that pushes to get in that top tier for me with those other three guys. And then I think it's a pretty big gap. But McLeod's the guy that I think he fits in with those other three guys. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do this year in that offense.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, again, GJ Kenny, he's such a genius, right? And I'm excited to see, like, Jordan McLeod throws a beautiful deep ball. So I think there's some, you know, meat left on the bone with CJ Finley. And I think we're going to really see Kenny's offense take that next step. And it's exciting for me because I live 45 minutes down the street from Texas State. And so it's going to be fun to go over there and watch some games, and I'll keep you guys posted. So Froton, you want to take us on to our boy Jackson Dart at number 5?
You know I want to dart. A few things in this world. Jackson Dart, 6'2", 6'3", 220 is what he's listed at. We'll see how that goes, but I think that's pretty good. Maybe 6'2", 215. But Ole Miss, the Lane train, we know what we're getting. I mean, as known a commodity as it gets. 35 points per game average. That was 16th in the country last year. I think that's probably even low for looking at for this season for Ole Miss. I am extremely bullish on them from a team perspective. I had a lot of shares of Dart last year, and thus I'm carrying them over in dynasty leagues. Their schedule, the new SEC, where everything's wide open and they don't have to deal with Alabama. No Alabama this year. Right, you've got Furman, Middle Tennessee, Wake Forest, Georgia Southern, a blistering offseason schedule, non-conference, excuse me. I don't know how they're going to manage that. Kentucky, South Carolina, LSU before the bye. Green lights all around. I don't see anything that's stopping me here from starting him. Going with Oklahoma, Arkansas, at Arkansas, and then Georgia at home. All right. Here we are, you know, last week of the regular season for college fantasy football. You know, that's week 12. The weekend the week after, week 13, first week of the playoffs in a lot. So that's that wedge week, you know, 12, 13. Some leagues that have the four-team playoffs, that's going to be, you know, week 13 this year because it's 14 weeks. There's double buys for every team or most of them. So these are two huge weeks, and you have to factor this in with Dart. Do you have a contingency plan for the first week of the 18 playoffs, the second week of the 18 playoffs, and the first week of the 14 playoffs before they get to playing at Florida? So the schedule is backloaded. It's a breeze all the way up to November. I mean, it's just basically you're going to want to have a – you know, a plan B come playoff time. And it's a similar situation to what you had with Caleb last year, where he had that late bye that that hurt a lot of people. It hurt me in Super Bowl, the Boz Cup, as it's known in the NCAAF. That being said, Lane train, 30 passes per game. That's 71st in the country. 285 passing yards per game, 19th. So even though they're passing volume, 30 passes per game is pedestrian. 285. I mean, as you'd expect with Kiffin, he's cashing it in on those opportunities. They're only losing Dwayne Wade. I know that's not his name. I'm just joking. Dayton Wade. But they got Watkins coming back. You got Antoine Wells heading in and Trey Harris on the outside. Let's go. Let's ride. You know, I don't see any reason why they can't clear that 20 passing yards per game mark again. 37-13 total team passing yards and 394 passing attempts. Again, 63rd in the country in passing attempts, 19th in passing yardage. Rushing, you know what they want to do? They want to run the ball. It's Ole Miss. You know, 41 carries per game. That's 12th in the country. But 4.3 yards per carry, 69th. You know, something about Judkins, still way up there in the Devy and the C2C stuff. he averaged 4.4 yards per carry last year or something stupid. You know, like he wasn't like some dominant force like he was as a freshman. I'm just interested to see how that goes at Ohio State. And I have shares of Judka. From a fantasy perspective, 40 plus points. He did it 4 times in 13 games. 30 plus points. He did it 6 times in 13 games. And then 20 plus points. He did 8 times in 13 games. I think that's just the case. Look, this is Ben Lane's handpicked boy. Since back at USC, followed him there. He really started settling in towards the second half. I just think he's hitting his stride. Stats, 3,364 yardage, 9.4 yards per attempt, smoking. 23-6, touchdown interception ratio, 258 yards per game. Rushing, which this is, you know, part of the appeal of Dart. Ran for 1,000 yards in high school, 119 rushes, 391 yards, 30 rushing yards per game, 8 touchdowns. Pretty good. Also to be factored in, as we talked about with Byron Brown, no fumbles lost. He put 4 on the ground, but they all came back really good with the ball security. So you're not going to deal with the 16 turnovers you did with Byron Brown. He had 6, and I think he probably cuts that down a little bit this year, but he is a gunslinger. Took 26 sacks for 170 yards lost, so that took a ding on his 391 rushing yards. But it should be noted that he ran for 614 yards in 2022 with 47 yards per game. So it's not like you can't run for 600 yards and put those numbers up. You know, I think that that the downside is the 400 you did last year. I think there's upside. There's 600, maybe 700 upside. I think Ole Miss could explode this year. But team efficiency, passing explosiveness, 12th nationally. Again, they're going deep. Yards per drop back, 8.8. That's 9th. Great numbers. 25% of passes went to wide open receivers. That's 76th. In the country. Not a lot. All right. You'd like to see a little more. Maybe Antoine Wells can help boost that. That's only going to increase, you know, Dart's value. And then also to be really excited about his wide open wide receiver completion rate, 92%. That was 7th best in the country. All right. I don't know what more you want than that. If you're getting a 30% rate, which even 30%, you're dealing with like, you know, 40th, 50th in the country of wide open rate. You know, for wide receivers with that addition of Antoine Wells with another year, the same core with Watkins and Harris, Caden Priestcorn, of course. Ooh, he takes advantage of mistakes. I love to see it. And against this soft schedule, he could rip deep passing. 67th out of 146 with a 16% deep ball rate. Look, a lot of what he's doing isn't deep. It's the rhythm, and frankly, a lot of the middle ground. 45% of his throws were 10-plus yards. I mean, 30% of those passes were going to that middle 10 to 19-yard range. He eats there, you know, because that's where you're waiting and you need the plays to develop. You can't just sit there and run these quick screens all the time. But when he does, they're on the money. 17-4, big-time throw to turnover-worthy play ratio on deep passes. Completed 24 of 48, 41% completion rate for 812 yards. Fine. Not great. Not bad. 92nd percentile passing grade to both the middle and deep levels. He's a big game hunter, you know, and it's not just deep. He also does the reads. 66% completion rate from 10 to 19, too, with a 12-2 ratio. Just dealing in that range. PFF passing grades are decent in the lowest two levels, 72 to 77. And 27% of the team's completions went for 20-plus yards, 6th most in the country. They're making big plays. He's putting it on, even though he's not going deep, only 16% of the time. When he's hitting receivers, he's putting them right in the pocket. Pressure. With no pressure, he's dangerous. 92nd percentile offensive grade, 72% completion rate, 22-5 ratio, deadly. Even with pressure, 66% offensive grade. That's really good, actually. And 85th percentile run grade. He's elusive and he's great throwing on the run. In terms of his pressure to sack rate, 2022, 9.6% pressure to sack rate, 13% career pressure to sack rate. So he's mobile. He throws on the run well. I mean, it's everything you're looking for. Play action. With play action, 68.5% completion rate, 11 yards per attempt, 11-2 ratio, 12-3 big-time throw at turnover play rate. He's nasty. Even without play action, he's still completing 61% of his passes, but it goes down to 7.7 yards per attempt. The thing is, they're doing RPOs all the time. So that's just part of the offense. That being said, even no play action, 12-3 touchdown interception rate, 1,500 yards. He's fine. Overall, you know, 10.5 ADOT, 20th out of 95 qualifying QBs, really good. 110.2 NFL passer rating, that's 13th in the country. I like everything about Jackson Dart. I think he is a incredible 18-1 value to be the Heisman Trophy winner. I think that Jaden Daniels profile is him, except he's even younger. You know, he's a year four quarterback, came back for this year. He's in that mix to be, you know, a highly drafted NFL QB. I think he gets there. Him and Carson Beck are like my two favorite 2025 draft QBs. And this is a Jackson Dart autograph. Bowman University, one of five, only graded nine. Big believer. I'm invested in Jackson. I think he's the five. I know it's probably a little bold, but this is probably due to where did you guys have him?
Go ahead, Zach.
I don't have it in front of me. I think he was my sixth QB, sixth or seventh, I believe.
I have but, it. You had okay. My QB five.
Five. Yeah.
So one of us here that didn't have him there.
Yeah.
Makes up for Jackson Arnold. I'll let it go. The Jackson. Hey,
but I had Jackson Arnold at 11 too. So I was close.
Fair. No, you're right. We're good.
I like Dart. I mean, everything you said, right? I just think he's in for a big season this year. He's a guy that, I don't think I have any shares of him yet, but definitely a guy that's on my radar. So I'm excited to see what he can do this year.
All right, real quick. I want to hit a quick break because I want to keep talking about Jackson Dart because I want to have a little bit of a Debbie conversation about this guy. But let's hit a break. We'll come back, talk about Jackson Dart, a few sleeper QBs, and then we're going to get out of here. All right. So I feel like part of what you just did, Froton, was you just did a great Debbie breakdown of this dude, Jackson Dart. I mean, I think he's absolutely...
I got to give it all to you.
But here's the deal. Like, I think he's absolutely top two QB next year, right? Like, I think you're right there with Carson Beck. I mean, there's some other guys you could have in there. But Jackson Dart, I mean, coming from the SEC, he's in a system that produces quarterbacks. I really think that this dude... Look, we just put this up. Dynasty Coach A... That's one of my boys, and he's super high on Jackson Dart. He picked him in round one.
That's hot on Jackson Dart, and
in January he was super high on him, and like I see it right. And if Antoine Wells can stay healthy with those other wide receivers they have coming back, I mean this offense is going to be so explosive. If they don't go in the portal and get a running back. Then what does Ulysses Bentley do best? He catches passes out of the backfield. Henry Parrish, the same thing. I mean, everything is setting up for this guy to just go ham this year. So anyways, I love this. I love your take on this. I think I absolutely think that he could end up as a QB one or two in CFF this year too. It's particularly in 6-point passing touchdown leagues. And so I think all of this is really, really good.
We got to toss up Alexander Thompson's comment here if we can. Producer man, our number one producer. Froton 1000% sleeps with that dark card. He's so right. Oh, Alexander, how did you know? You know I love my dark red. You know it.
No, that, but here's the deal. Like, I love what you said about Jackson Dart. I love where this conversation is going, but I want to have a little bit of a different conversation. I think we're going to shelve the next five QBs for the next show because I think this content is good and I want to continue to have these conversations. But people have been asking in the comments a lot about sleeper QB, right? And who are the guys that we would have coming in? One, we did a great show on sleeper QBs that you can get in like the 20th plus round. But there's been some guys that have been mentioned in the chat. And so I want to pull some of these guys up on the screen. I want you guys to talk about them a little bit. I know this is off the cuff. And so we'll see how this goes. But Preston Stone, he's a guy that, you know, he's been cleared. He came back at the end of spring ball. And he's going to be the QB1. SMU is going to the ACC. ACC doesn't play defense any better than the AAC. So I think he's got a lot of opportunity here. You know, and he's got some really good wide receivers there. What do you guys, particularly, again, we're doing 6-point passing touchdown leagues, right? And so Preston Stone would have a bump in that. What is y'all's take on Preston Stone? Where would you guys take him with 6-point passing touchdowns?
So Josh, do you have where I had him ranked? I like Preston Stone in 6-point.
Yeah, let me pull this up real quick.
I love him.
I mean, he's a guy that, I mean, last year we got a little bit in the run game too. There wasn't a lot, but we did get a little bit of value there. But
we got a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And he had, I mean, one, two, three, four games, five games of 3+ touchdowns, right? So that's something I'm always looking at, right? How's he doing there? They're going to throw the ball. Josh, you nailed it. They have some receivers there. I really like that. I don't know what the run game's going to look like really either. Seem like they went with committee last year a little bit. They had some injuries, but I just think he's the strength of that offense. And transitioning to, the new conference, maybe they're playing from behind a little bit is what I'm hoping for. So you're going to see him throw the ball a little bit more too. I like Stone though this year. He's a guy I've tried to get. I like where his value is right now. In some of these drafts, it's pretty good. So, he's a guy that I'm trying to get. He's usually in my queue. I feel like I haven't got him as much lately, but early on I liked where I was able to get him.
Sure. With Stone, it's all about if Rhett Lashley's going to go back to throwing the ball again, because he didn't eclipse 30 passes in any of his last five games. That being said, he had at least he had 3 touchdowns in 8 of his 11 games played. And like Zach mentioned, he was injured. He was hurt for a pretty good part of the season here, you know. So, when he wasn't specifically injured, he was still a little hampered. So the fact that he's still out there racking up, you know, in 7 of his last 8 games, he had at least 3 touchdowns. And the one that he didn't, he had 2. You know, the only one that breaks the streak is just TCU. He had a bad game against a Power 5 opponent where he threw 2 interceptions. But fine. He only plays them once, you know? Like, how many times he played TCU? Moving on, Preston Stone is absolutely, in my opinion, especially in the 6-point passing touchdown leagues, he is a viable lockdown number 2. He's going in our leagues, in the Champions League, in the 12th round, 11th, 12th round, frankly. And, you know, he's going outside of that QB2 range. I would say he's probably going in like around QB 30, you know, QB 25 to 30. He should be a top 20 pick. Top 20.
Yeah. And Zach and I both have him at QB 16. Listen to the schedule over the last 6 games of the year. He's got Stanford, Duke, Pittsburgh, Boston College, UVA, and California. And those are all teams. I mean, I think the upgrade and like what happened in the AAC is they were so much better than every other team that they just ran the ball, right? They're not going to be able to do that right away in the ACC. And so they're going to have to throw the ball more. I think there's an uptick in his production based on them going up and playing more difficult teams than they did in the AAC. And all those teams are pretty decent offensively as well. They should be able to put up some stats, and so they could get into some shootouts as they transition. What do you think, Zach?
I like Stone. So just to piggyback on what Froton was talking about, in those last 7 games, I mean, he was a top 25 QB in 5 of the 7 games, right? And they weren't throwing the ball, like you said, they weren't throwing the ball nearly as much, and he was still, I mean, he's still a in that tier of what you want in your lineup if you're playing season long. So Stone's a guy that I like. And like I mentioned, I love where his value is right now.
And just to tie a bow on the Stone point. Yeah. Are they going to be scoring the same volume they were last year? Absolutely not. That's not happening. Are they going to be throwing with a greater volume than they were last year? Absolutely. And that's kind of the point I was making with last year, where it's like, dude, congratulations. You're 20, 28, 20, 23, and 19. That's the amount of passes through each of the last 5 games. Like, that ain't happening. It's going to be the 35, 40 pass per game range.
That's
the
6
point passing touchdown lead. He's going to.
Yeah. I agree. Okay. I want to move to, let's see.
Other ones. We talked about sleeper QB.
Yeah. We talked about Kyren Drones already a little bit, but we want to talk about, you know, Nino said he'll sneak onto this list by midseason. We didn't have him on there basically because it's a 6-point passing touchdown. He would have been on there otherwise. Yeah, I think for most of us,
it brings him down. That's the only thing with Drones. Well, let's do it. All right, let's talk about Drones. I mean, it's everything. It's that volume. I mean, when he goes off too, 20 carries, 135, 20 carries, 176. You know, he's getting huge volume. But then, you know, you look at how it went down the end of the year. He had 1 rushing touchdown in his last 8 games. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. 8. And he only had, in his first 3 games, he didn't have any rushing touchdowns. He had two rushing touchdowns against Marshall. Congratulations. Two against Pitt, and then one in the bowl game against Tulane. So, bottom line, he had two rushing touchdowns all season against Power 5 opponents. Congratulations, Kyren Drones, like this amazing running quarterback. And then you're looking at the passing volume. All right, well, here's his, again, we'll go with the last few games. 21 passes, 22, 30 against NC State for a whopping 225 yards. Oh, my gosh. In fact, yeah, 21 passes, 91 yards, 22 passes, 244, 30, 225, 17, 219, 21, 69, 24, 194. It's like he had one 300-yard game. He had one game over 245 yards all season passing. Like, you're going to tell me that Kyren Drones is the special running quarterback, right? But he scored one touchdown in the last eight games. And we know that Brent Pry wants to protect his defense. And you got Bishal Tutin there. Put it all together. You get it. That's how I feel about Kyren Drones being a top 10 QB. Not in my world. Not on my watch.
Yeah.
Chris Kay, the defender of Kyren Drones. I love Nino. Nino's my boy. We took a picture at the Senior Bowl together, me, Dirienzo, and Nino. And he's my boy. He helps me. I mean, Nino's bossing through and through in my home. But Nino, we ain't going to be a top 10. We need Nino.
Zach, what you got on?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, there has to be more rushing production from him if there's going to be any value. He didn't even obviously scoring can change this, but from what I have pulled up right now, not even 1 week in the top 10 last year. So he was close in that Pitt game where he had five total touchdowns, but that was it. He came in 11th there, and there just wasn't you. If he's not going to have better rushing production scoring wise, then I don't see him even sniffing the top 10 in a league like this, right? A 6-point passing. Even in a 4-point, I mean, he's got to get more out of that rushing game, or something's got to change in the pass game. Cause it's just not, I mean, 15 total touchdowns passing. It's
It's
not there.
4-point passing touchdown only. I don't even want him on my team unless it's 4-point passing touchdowns.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what am I going to, I'm going to go and waste a top five round, top 10 round pick? Like, screw that. I've been getting Jackson Dart in our champions leagues. I've gotten Jackson Dart, I think, at least in two of them in that 7th round pocket. And I will keep taking him in the 7th round every single time he's there, as opposed to dealing with Kyren Drones in the 6th. He's going ahead of Jackson Dart. In the second one, in the third one, he went ahead of Jackson Dart. So it's your fault, Chris Kay and Greg Brady.
Yeah.
You look in the mirror. Enjoy.
Pro time. Jackson Dart's probably the best value right now in CFF leagues.
And he's phenomenal. Best value on Bowman. You? Best value in CFF? I'll forget. You don't think I just have a red? Oh, I got a gold, too. There's a gold Jackson Dart. So, yeah, Jackson Dart's all around. Betting him for the Heisman, everything. 100% Jackson Dart. I'm on the train. I'm riding it. I'm thrilled. 100%.
Apparently,
and Carson Beck, too. Obviously.
Well, apparently, Froton, Baylor Bear says Froton is also a drone stand, clearly. Zach, you got any final thoughts on drones?
No. I haven't taken him once yet, and where he's going right now, I don't think I ever will.
All right. Well, we're gonna wrap it up with this quote here.
I got hit on by Chris K. on Twitter. You know, Chris, Mrs. K, you got to talk to him. Talk to him about his Kyren Drones stance.
Hey, they got a long drive tomorrow.
They got 10, ten hours to talk to him about Kyren Drones, Mrs. K.
Poor Mrs. K. You're going to have to hear about why Kyren Drones is a top 10 QB. All right. Hey, we're going to end with this. Benjamin Jacobs said, is Nico mainly just projection here at this spot? I feel like Green could be higher. Hey, Benjamin, you're going to have to come back next week to hear us talk about Nico, Green, and our other top 10 QB. So,
it's a fair take, Benjamin. It's a very fair take.
Yeah, it's a very fair take. I'm excited to talk about the rest of our list. I think the rest of our list is, honestly, it's going to be more fun to talk about than the top 5. The top 5. Like, I think they are who they are. But this next 6 through 10, these guys are going all over the map, according to ADP. So it's going to be a fun conversation. I think next week we can hopefully have some transfer portal news to talk about, and then we can end with our 6 through 10 QBs. But I think it's going to be a fun show.
We got Baylor Bear. I gotta let Baylor Bear go. Baylor Bear wants a top 10 Kyren Drones bet. So I mean, if that's what we gotta do, if that's the world we're living in, then I do t-shirts or I do like high end roast beef sandwiches. There aren't many of those in San Diego, so we can't do those. No pizzas. Can't do pizzas. Maybe a t-shirt. Maybe a Play College Fantasy Football shirt for my boy Baylor Bear. Huh? Huh? Are we? I think we're gonna have to do that. We might have a little something coming up. So Baylor Bear, you're on, my friend. You're on. If he's the top 10, mark it down. All right, Baylor Bear is getting sent out a Play College Fantasy Football shirt. That's fair.
Hey, speaking of the future, I talked to somebody in Austin this last week. One Mike Bainbridge, who's been missing from this show
in Austin, mind you.
You know what he told me? You know what he told me in Austin? He said, "I think I'm going to be on the next show that you guys do."
Whoa, that's good because, dude, I can't be on next week. It's the draft, and I have. This is like the last one I'll skip for a while. So,
well,
Bainbridge has to come on now. He has to come on.
No Froton. Mike Bainbridge, top five, man. This show might be 20 minutes long next week.
I'm pissed because I have my who is my last guy? I have him queued up and I'm ready to go on him too. It's too bad.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be able to give it to you. I'll have to come back and give it. Who did you give me? Haynes King. Oh man, are you down with the King? You down with the King? You know who that is? You know that?
Yes.
You know down with the King?
But I'm only down with Derek.
It's Run DMC.
There we go.
So Haynes King. Yeah. Oh, I wanted to get into Haynes King. I'm sorry, guys. All right. I'll have to, when I come back in 2 weeks, we'll have a quick Haynes King flossing. We'll get into whatever the topic du jour is, which will probably be spring games. Also, I will be at the USC spring game. Josh, you going to any of these this weekend?
This weekend I'm doing a wedding in Lubbock. So unless Texas Tech somehow playing like 11 a.m., then I will not be hitting up a spring game this weekend. But I'll be watching.
Well, there's nothing.
So I have lots of thoughts.
I don't think anything holy has ever happened in Inglewood. So I know you won't be. The wedding won't be there. But I will be at the Coliseum. So be on the lookout. Very excited. And I will report back on how I feel about the USC wide receiver room. Huh? Are we excited? I'm excited.
Dude, I'm super interested in that, actually. I think there's some sleepers that could come out of that room.
I'm really fired.
We'll save that for when we...
Yeah, especially given, like, the draft stuff. Deuce Robinson's going undrafted in the 30-round leagues. I've been really close to pulling the trigger on Deuce. I got Zach in the ninth this past league, Zachariah Branch. I want to say, did you take Ja'Cory Lane? Somebody took Ja'Cory Lane, I want to say, like, went to 20th, maybe 21st. Yeah.
Makai Lemon's intriguing too. I mean, they got some.
Yeah. And he didn't even get drafted. I want to say Deuce and Makai didn't get drafted, though. So that's an interesting. All right.
Yep. Good stuff. All right. Hey, I think we're done, but we're so thankful that you guys are supporting the show. Man, the comments have been awesome. It's fun to be able to interact with them this week. That makes, I think, the show really special for us. If you guys can continue to support us by liking, commenting, subscribing at Fantasy Points, we're going to be here every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern. At least two or three of us will, talking college ball. So come back next week, hear about our next iteration of our top 6 through 10 QBs. Until then, do small things with great love.